attitudes we need to have towards Satan. We know from our last lessons that he is our adversary. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 say, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." I want us to focus some on the word sober. To be sober means to maintain a sound mind. It means bringing our thoughts under control, mentally self-controlled. If you hear someone say, "Oh, they're just mental," in colloquial terms, they're saying someone has no control of what they say, or they don't care, they don't control their thoughts or their speech or their actions. Now, I didn't say you were mental, okay? All right, in 2 Corinthians, if you want to hold your place in 1 Peter, if you want to look back, that's fine. But I'll just read about four verses for you, and then we will come back and look at them a bit closer. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul reminds us that we are to be in control of things. It's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by being sober. We're going to do that by being self-controlled. All right, another verse I'll read to you. We'll come back to it later. 1 Peter 1:13. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Here's the word again, be sober. "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Also in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." All right, and thinking back to last week where we talked about 1 Peter, last month, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the one that we're very familiar with, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That verse reminds us that our cares, our anxieties, our anxious feelings, our thoughts, they need to be given to the Lord. They need to be cast on the Lord, because anxiety, cares, anxiousness, boy, that's the devil's playground. He loves that when we're that way. He can really get at us. And that's why we need to be sober. We need to have mental control. Giving our cares to the Lord is sober thinking. All right. 1 Peter 1:13, if you want to go there. We want to look at this because the Lord doesn't want us to let our thoughts run wild. It's easy for us to do that. Just let them take off and go everywhere. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Okay, what we're talking about here is that we're not to faint, we're not to become weary in the trials and the tribulations and the dramas that we face in our daily life. And our trials and our dramas have two extremes. Either we think the worst is going to happen, or we think, "Oh, everything's going to turn out all right. I'm not going to worry about anything." And we don't do anything about the situation. Those are the two extremes. That is not controlling your mind. That is not being sober. So this verse not only speaks of controlling our mind, that one in 1 Peter 1:13, but it also talks about hope, doesn't it? Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to us a hope in regard to the coming of the Lord. Now we know the Lord is coming again, and we want to be in right relationship with the Lord. I know as a kid, one place I didn't want to go was to the movies, because I was sure if I did, the Lord would come and find me there. And none of us want to be caught in a situation when the Lord returns that would make us sad, upset, embarrassed. But he will come, and we can be sure of that. But God has not told us when he's coming, and he's done that for a good reason. You talk to a teacher in school, and she'll tell you that the last few days before school holidays, you don't get anything out of the kids. They're unproductive, they're unfocused, because they're waiting to get out of school. So he didn't tell us the time, because we're not much better than the kids. He warned believers in one of the epistles of Paul not to set back and neglect to do anything, say, oh, I'm just going to wait for the Lord to come, you know. It's because they had the idea he was coming straight away. But he said, don't do that. God knows how tempted we would be to neglect the things we should do if we knew when he was coming. So instead, he's entrusted us, not giving us a date on a calendar, so that we will continue the job that he's given us to do. What has he given you to do? Your family, your reaching out. But instead of focusing on when he's coming, we know he's coming, but what has he given us to do on the earth in the meantime and to be ready for when he comes? So the return of Christ is a focal point for us that we need to have, and actually looking for Christ's return helps us to have victory over Satan, because we want to be right with God. We want to do what's the right thing. Now, if you want to flip back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3, we're going to read 3, 4, and 5 ultimately. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is speaking to us, and he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. All right, when we think of war, we're thinking of knives and forks. I am bad today. Swords and spears and all of that. We don't war after the flesh, because it says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal has to do with relating to the physical. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, whether we realize it or not, once you became a Christian, all of a sudden you had a very bad enemy, and that was the devil. And we are in a war against the devil and his angels. A warfare the Bible talks to us about with principalities and powers, the devil, his angels. We can't use physical weapons against them. We have to use spiritual ones. Verse 5 in 2 Corinthians 10 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we see here that we are being sober, and notice two words, casting and bringing. Casting down imaginations. Okay, we need to cast down or get rid of the thoughts that take us where we should not go. And how easy it is for us to start thinking and all of a sudden we're way out here where we shouldn't be. Okay, what do we cast down? Look at that verse. Every high thing. All right, that has to do with thinking that contradicts the Word of God. And also, we need to cast down our own exalted opinions, our way of doing it. I'll do it this way. Consider Eve in the garden, listening to the serpent. That made her doubt God. It made her think God didn't really want the best for her. And besides that, the fruit did look really good. And so, very quickly, her thoughts had gone where they should not have gone. She wasn't thinking about what God had said. All our wandering thoughts must be made obedient to the Lord and to the Word, and must be in agreement with the Bible. If our thoughts and our decisions are not in agreement with the Bible, we're not being obedient to the Lord, we're going to have problems with the devil. And the responsibility is ours. That is our responsibility. God's not going to do it for us. We have to do it ourselves. So retaining a sober, a sound mind doesn't let your thoughts run wild, or it doesn't let your thoughts go against God's word. Because once your thoughts are there against God's word, the next step is to do them. And that's what we're trying to avoid. And that's what the devil wants us to do, is to go against God's word and do what we want to do. And I think for all of us, when things aren't going so well for one reason or another, no matter what's happening in our life, often we can say, okay, this is the devil having a go at me. But a lot of times it's our own old nature, because we're human and those things will affect us. So I think we become fearful when we're having difficult times, and all of a sudden all of these scenarios come into your mind, don't they? Oh, this could happen. Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen. Oh, what are we going to do now? Oh, this is terrible. No, I found some years back in a child evangelism magazine when I was reading about how to help kids and not to be afraid and things like that, but it helped me, what he said, more than anybody. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the Lord reminds us that we need to leave everything to him. We need to seek his guidance. We need to wait, because we don't know the truth. Why are you worrying about something and making a scenario out of it that something terrible is going to happen when you don't really know all the truth? Do you have a question? Yes, that's another thing. No, that's right. And there are times when you think, I can't do this, and because I can't do it, this is going to happen. Yeah. And we have to say, oh Lord, what can I do? What am I supposed to do? What do I leave behind? What do I do? And the Lord will help you. The thing is that once we know the truth, we know what the situation is, then we can deal with it. You cannot deal with something that's airy-fairy and it hasn't happened. How can you help someone in a car wreck if the car wreck hasn't happened? So wait till you know the truth. And then once you know the truth, okay, this is what we'll do. You can begin to deal with it. Maybe difficult, but you still have the Lord. And that way, your mind is set free from worry, 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 because this might happen or that might happen. Don't worry about it. It hasn't happened. Leave it with the Lord. And if you don't know what the truth is, just wait. Don't be overcome with waiting. And that's why I put this up here. The light of the truth dispels the darkness in which lies the stronghold of evil. That's a quote from a theologian way back in the 1800s. And it is. It's the stronghold of the devil, in the sense, because truth gives light. When we don't know the truth, we're in the dark. So don't do anything in the dark. Wait till you know what the truth is. All right, another attitude, besides being sober that and relating properly to the Word, to God in our situation, is in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And that deals with an attitude of prayer. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober," there's our word again, "and watch unto prayer." All right? So we take the thoughts that trouble us, and we're to pray about them. Not fret, not worry, not imagine the worst, but pray about them. And what does it say? And being watchful as you pray. Because the enemy is going to attack. He's watching. And he's looking for a soft spot that he can attack you. So you pray and you're aware that Satan is always watching. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. Very important. We need to remember God is always there. We can talk to him anytime, anywhere. In fact, we know that God is always listening. It's not like we're talking and he doesn't hear us. Sometimes we think he's not answering, but he hears everything we say, everything we pray, everything we talk to him about. It's his timing and his ways. But talk to him as a friend. I like to think of the Lord as walking beside me all day long, and I'm often just talking to the Lord. You know, not out loud so much, or people would think I was crazier than they think they am now. But just in your mind to talk, you know, to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need help with this, and I just need a parking place, or I just need help with getting this opener. Just basic things. God's concerned about every aspect of your life. Just like you're concerned about mothers, that is, every aspect of your child's life. And you want to know. He's the same. So converse with him all during the day. And don't wait until you're alone to pray and think you'll have time without any interruptions. I can tell you for sure you'll have interruptions. And the devil will make sure of it. So don't wait for just a specific time. Talk to him all the time. The verse also that we talked about last time was 1 Peter 5:7, the one you probably memorized by now, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we really need to remember to do that, to cast our cares on him, our worries, at any time. Turn your thoughts over to God. When they're bothering you, turn them over to God. It's one thing to pray about your thoughts that trouble you, and then it's another thing to leave them with the Lord. Say, okay, Lord, I'm leaving them with you after I've prayed. And you get up, you say, okay, I'm going to go do the washing, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Get your mind out of it. But I'm sure, as I have, you tend to pick up those cares as you're picking up the clothes, and all of a sudden the problem is back in your head. So you need to continue to pray. And ask the Lord to help. Repeat your prayer to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. When I was about 17, I, at night in bed, at one stage, all of these horrible words came into my head. Now, everybody's heard horrible words and seen things you don't want to remember. And it's not like you're saying horrible words, but you've heard them, so they're there. And the devil picks them up and throws them at you while you're trying to rest or trying to go to sleep. And that was what was happening to me. And I would just be upset. And it would take me ages to go to sleep. And I talked to my mom about it and told her what was happening. And she said, Susan, you need to claim the blood. I said, what do you mean? And she said, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for you. He shed his blood for you. The devil is afraid of the blood. He talks about it in Revelations, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Claim the blood when those things come in and ask the Lord to make Satan go. I said, okay. And needless to say, that night, all of that came back again. And so I prayed. And it was gone like that, and I thought, whoa. But 5 minutes later, it came back. And I said, oh, okay. So I prayed again, and it was gone. And I was almost asleep, and it came again. So I prayed again, and I've never had it come back. Because the devil knew I was going to claim the blood. And sometimes that's what you're going to have to do. Okay, so we need to remember that we're not strong enough to battle with Satan and his angels. In the book of Jude, and verse 9, tells us about Michael the archangel, who refused to battle with Satan. He spoke and said to the devil, and said, the Lord rebuke you. We'll look at that again in a minute. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, if you want to look at that again, here's our verse we're familiar with. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Right, we're going to look at that word, or two words, walketh about. All right, we're to be sober, because the devil's walking about. But we also need to be sober because we are walking about and we're doing things. So we need to be sober like a soldier. A soldier that's walking around with his eyes open and he's alert. Be it midnight, 3 a.m, he's awake. Now, we have an example of watching. You don't have to look this up in Matthew chapter 26 in verse 38. That's when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's crucified. And he says to his disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Watch. It's the same word as vigilant. Looking out, looking to see what's going on. Watch with me, be aware. And then he comes to his disciples a little later, chapter 26, verse 40, and he finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And that word watch in the Greek is related to sleep. So we need to be alert and watching, but not watching and going to sleep. There's a passage of scripture in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, and I'll read that to you. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So we also need to be walking about, aware of things going on around us, aware at the temptations, aware of what the devil is doing, because he says God gives us light. Isn't that what the verse says about light? Have a look. What does it say? "Christ shall give thee light." So you know which way to walk. So you know what direction to go. So as we seek him regarding what he would have us to do, as in the case of the disciples, what he asked us to do. Know what he wants us to do and be alert, be watchful. Matthew 24 and verse 43 says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Now, this verse is basically in connection with the second coming, but is applicable to our battle with Satan as well. So we need to be, you say, on sentry duty and watch for Satan, that he not break up or destroy our households, our families, our children, or our church. Be on the lookout. Now, if you're not alert like the disciples were, you're sleepy, you're tired, you're not paying attention in a spiritual sense. I know we all get tired. That's not a problem. But in a spiritual sense, we're sleepy. The sleepy man. The devil knows that. And we're not alert to the battle. We're not alert or ready to fight the battle. And are we aware of the devil's power and we don't do anything about it? Then we're like the man in Proverbs 22 and 13, the slothful man, the man who is lazy, the sleepy man, that saith, "There is a lion in the street." There's a lion without, actually. "I shall be slain in the streets." And interestingly enough, the psalmist was doing this as a, almost, I can't think of the right word, but like a joke. "There's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." That was a crazy thought. He wasn't in the country. He was in the city. What's a lion going to be doing walking down Main Street? So his excuse for not leaving the house, not doing what he should do, was absurd. He wasn't going to go out and do the gardening outside of the gate. I mean, there might be a lion in the street. So can we consider hiding from the devil and not ready to do battle with him? If so, we're acting like the devil has the victory. He's the lion in the street, and we can't do anything about it, and we got to just hide. But if a lion really was in the street, what would you do? You would want to protect your children. You would want to protect your families. You would want to let others be aware of it. You would want people to help you to get rid of that lion. So that's what we need to do, destroy it as much as we can. But how do we do that? With the devil, we have to use the right kind of weapons, the ones that God gives us. And you're familiar with those in Ephesians chapter 6. So bring out your sword, which is the word of God. And Jesus did that when the devil tempted him. How did he deal with the devil? He quoted scripture back to him, didn't he? And also, as you have time, read Ephesians 6 and notice the other weapons that you have to fight the devil. Spiritual weapons. Another thing I just want to mention in regard to the devil, and that is, as you will find it in scripture, that we're not to jest about the devil. I'm sure all of you have heard somebody say, oh, the devil made me do it, ha, ha, ha. You know, they make fun of it. They think the devil is a joke and that he's not real, and they use him in their jokes. Now, Jude, in the book of Jude, doesn't speak kindly to unsaved who think they know more than God knows. And in verse 8, he says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, or they contaminate the flesh. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. In other words, they're speaking evil of governments, governors, and unseen powers. The spiritual dignitaries include the devil and his angels. And it says these dreamers speak lightly of him. So jesting about the devil makes light of the devil, as if he wasn't there, as if he's a joke, and it's wrong. And the scripture teaches us not to do that. Joking is when you tell a humorous story that provokes a laugh. Jesting is when you take something sacred and make a joke out of it to get others to laugh. So you're jesting when you speak lightly of the devil. He's not a laughing matter. And the devil didn't make you do it. You did it. In Jude verse 9, I'll read that to you. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, as far as I can tell, the body of Moses was the charge of Michael, the archangel. And the devil wanted to know where Moses was buried, because God buried him, if you read that in the Old Testament. Michael resisted the devil and dared not bring accusation against him, the Bible tells us, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael, the highest of the angels, said, I don't have the authority to rebuke Satan, but God has. It's quite sad when you see some of these charismatic things rebuking the devil. It's not possible. The Lord does it. All right, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, if you're still in 1 Peter, the Christians are told to resist the devil. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So resist means to stand against. We're not told to go into Satan's domain and battle with him. Ephesians 6 and verse 13 tells us instead, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Withstand is the same Greek word as resist. Resist, withstand. So we are to stand in a certain position and refuse to budge. With the armor of God, we have the power to do that. We are to resist steadfast in the faith. We're trusting the Lord. The devil seeks to rob us of our faith by causing fear or questioning if God is there, like he did with Eve, questioning if God really cares. But we know that God does care. We know what the scripture says, that he loves us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We don't want to believe the devil's lies. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." So important for us to be settled, established in the truth, in faith and in truth. We can rest on the truth, and by faith we can trust in the truth. Too often we try to resist the devil without being established in the faith, and so our resistance is to no avail. We need to know that God has power to resist the devil. God has power to rebuke the devil. James 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil." Resist. Be steadfastly against him, and he will flee from you. So to resist him, we've really got to be totally committed to the Lord and to doing what God wants us to do, obeying him and his word before you can resist the devil. How can you resist the devil if you're not in fellowship with the Lord? You're not going to get anywhere, and you're just going to have more trouble. But submitting yourself to the Lord and to his will gives you the power to resist the devil and withstand him. So victory is available if we keep before us the assurance that God is doing something. God has a purpose. God has a plan in what's happening in regard to this particular battle that I'm going through, this particular time that I'm having to deal with that is difficult. God always has a purpose in every test that he gives us. Now, the devil will tempt us. We know that, because he wants us to fall. But God tests us. He allows things to happen in our lives to mature us, to help us to see where we're really at, and to lean on him and to trust him. And we know that the devil uses discouragement against us. We all get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you get down. And when you get down, the devil steps on you. So we know that any discouragement undermines our defense. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to be encouraged in the Lord. And in 1 Peter 5, 9, he reminds us that we aren't alone in the battle. What does he say? "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, you're not the only one going through this. Don't think you're the only one that's ever had something like this happen to you and nobody else has ever had this. No, we've all gone through, we all will go through tests, temptations that other brothers and sisters have had. And that's why sharing our burdens with others, bear one another's burdens, share your burdens, the scripture talks about, with others. It helps them and it helps us, because they know what we're going through. We realize they struggle just like we do. And so doing, we bear the other's burdens. Rosa and I had a good old time the other day discussing our burdens, didn't we, Rosa? And we both came to the same conclusion: we needed each other's input to help us with the same burden that we had. And the Lord just made it so much lighter, didn't he? It was good. Now, sometimes you might be concerned if the devil is attacking you. "I know this is from the devil." And you may think, "I'm not as close to the Lord as I should be." Well, you can work on getting closer. That's true. But you definitely must be concerned if the devil doesn't give you any trouble. Because if he doesn't give you any trouble, you're not a problem to him. So any affliction the Lord allows is for the purpose of maturity, or perfection, the Bible calls it, to help us. What the devil brings in your life is for destruction, to destroy you, to maim you, to cause you to where you're not useful as a Christian and you're set on the shelf. We have to accept God allows certain things in our lives that we don't understand and we would like to not have to put up with. Think of Paul, the thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked the Lord. Three times the Lord said no. The devil sent it, to cause trouble, but God permitted it. And what did God say about the thorn that he would not take away? My grace is sufficient. If you have a thorn in the flesh like Paul that doesn't go away, remember God will give you grace. God will give you the power with his help to bear that. We won't have time to look this up, but in the word in 1 Peter 5, verse 9, accomplish. God is he's actually instituting a purpose with a process. He's accomplishing something. It's in our lives. It's a process of perfection that he's trying to do. And that, if you look, think about it in Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So the finished product, us, may at times be allowing the devil to sift us as he spoke. Remember to Peter, the devil desires to sift you, but I will pray. That's Luke 22, 31, if you want to look up the context. Or sometimes the Lord allows us to be buffeted, as Paul was. And he talks about that in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. But no matter what we're buffeted with, no matter what we're sifted, how the devil sifts us, we need to see that God has a purpose. God has a plan for every affliction we go through. Back in 1 Peter 5, 9, you see that word knowing. Knowing means to perceive, to see that God is accomplishing something in your life and the life of others if you will let him. And so you have to look at the things you're going through eyes of faith. Maybe not knowing the why, maybe not ever knowing the why until you get to heaven, but remembering that God is totally trustworthy, and whatever he brings into your life, as you work to be right with him, God has a reason for it, and we can trust him. And the Lord will help us to resist the devil. Okay, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have all power and all authority. We thank you, Lord, that you can rebuke Satan, that you can protect us that from the wiles of the devil. We know that we have to do our part in resisting and drawing close to you. We need to be aware of all of the weapons that we can use against the devil from Ephesians 6. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to trust you. Help us to be alert and aware. Protect ourselves. Protect our families. Protect our church. We pray for your will to be done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.